Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
And welcome back. Time to talk some NFL draft with a guy that you've heard the last couple of years. One of my favorite guys to talk to during the NFL draft, Thor Nystrom, at Fantasy Pros and at Betting Pros, Fantasy Football Weekly. He's also a transplanted Jayhawk. What's up, Thor?
Hey, how you doing? Good to be back.
Good to be back with you. A lot of things going on where you're at. The old J.J. McCarthy talk, going to the Minnesota Vikings. What's going to happen? Is it going to be him or Drake May? I mean, you got all the fun for quarterbacks. I remember the chase for Mahomes or Deshaun Watson, which direction they were going to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a time where you don't have certainty there, but it's a very exciting time. Obviously, Kwesi last week was able to acquire that second first-round pick from the Texans, and now you got the ammo to go up, get up into the – we'll have to see. Was it top three? Is it top four? Is it top five? We'll have to see, but they know that they probably have to get above the New York Giants in order to get one of those top four quarterbacks, and I would expect them to be able to do so.
Thor, you put your Mock 2.0 out on Fantasy Pros. You have a quarterback going the first four picks in the draft, and you have Marvin Harrison sliding to the Chargers in the fifth spot. I'm sure a lot of Kansas City fans would not like to see Marvin Harrison Jr. go to the Chargers. But are you sold? You know, one of these quarterbacks or two of them is going to be a bust. We know that. But you got Caleb Williams, then Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy to your Vikings. Which one out of these four do you think prospers and which one fails?
Well, so I have Drake May as my QB4.
Okay.
And my, you know, but I'm going to have him as a top 10 overall guy on my board, and I think he's worth a pick up there. And I do think, you know, in terms of the Vikings, he'd be a decent fit for that because he's really good thrown over the middle. He's got the velocity difference, stuff like that, as a pocket passer. My only concern about him, or maybe even call it a nitpick, is his numbers against pressure are not very good. And the thing that I, you know, like his completion percentage plummets into like the low 40s percentage with a yards per attempt under 7 yards when he's under pressure. And the thing that I noticed the last couple of years and then getting deeper into his film cutoffs and stuff like that was what he's good at, it's his footwork and then the manipulation of the spacing in the beats after the snap. So he has a really good understanding of that. He shuffles around pretty decent. And that manipulation, it allows him to keep a runway in front of him, like so that he can step up into and throw. That stuff's all good. But when the pocket begins to collapse, but it's not yet on his doorstep, I noticed that not only does his mental processing speed up too much where you see some glitching in the decision-making, but especially his mechanics. Like because it's like speed. It's like he hits fast forward on and needs to get the ball out. Because of that, he's not squaring up to the target, and you see a lot of it's the upper body movement just speeding through it. The accuracy begins to get errant under pressure because of that. And then he doesn't have the athleticism to get outside the pocket, different stuff like that. So you can get him dead to rights if he judges it wrong and the pressure gets in there too much. Those are my concerns about him. Those are some of the things that J.J. McCarthy excels at. J.J. McCarthy's awesome throwing on the run. He keeps the mechanics with him on the move. When he's moving around, you'll notice he always keeps his eyes up, you know, eyes downfield. He has the upper body cocked to throw always, his feet under him. That's why the mechanics go with him, and he can get the ball up very, very quickly when he's on the move. McCarthy, when he's scrambling last year, 71-plus percent completions, it only dropped off one percentage point from his overall accuracy, which is just absolutely wild. The other thing I like about McCarthy is, and this is a super rare trait, but it's one of those things like you're watching the cutoffs and you're like, you don't see that very often, especially with college quarterbacks. This is rare even in the NFL. When, you know, I was talking about the thing with May and the pressure situations and whatever and how everything speeds up. You don't want to call it panic, but, however you want to describe that. With McCarthy, it's sort of the opposite in that you never see him fading away under pressure or from the hit. You never see him bracing for it. he's one of those guys that will step up and eat the biggest shot possible if it allows him to have the more accurate pass. It's like he doesn't care. You know, he's a former hockey player. The physicality does not concern him whatsoever. And he doesn't flinch in those moments either. But McCarthy's very good throwing over the middle, just like May. So for those reasons, you know, pretty good fits for the Vikings.
Thor, you get four quarterbacks, I do believe, in the first round. You had them go in the top four picks, as we mentioned. The more quarterbacks, the better for the Chiefs, because it means there's other players are going to be available. The record's six quarterbacks in the first round. The record for offensive tackles is seven back in 08. The record for wide receivers is seven in 2004. You had five receivers going in the first round. What is a better chance, do you think, when it comes down to the draft night in Detroit, for the wide receivers to tie or break the record, or the tackles tie or break the record?
I'd go over on the tackles. I think there's going to be a lot of the tackles off the board. The receivers, I saw the prop number in the market that when it first dropped, I don't know if it's changed at all, but it was dropped at 6.5. I would shade that ever so slightly under. I think six is probably the reasonable number there. One of the reasons why I think it could be a little, like, you know, on different people's boards, you might have seven or eight guys that you would say are first round ability. But the thing, you know, when we talk about this receiver class, a lot of times it's the elite three guys at the top. And then maybe you start talking about McConkey and Thomas and some of the guys a little bit after that. But it is also super duper deep going all the way down. So like in the middle of the second round, you could get a guy that in a normal year, maybe he would be an early second round pick. In the third round, maybe you get a guy that's usually in the second round, whatever. I think that might have the effect of some of those first round talent receivers that are not the top three guys of pushing them down a little bit, because teams can do the three-dimensional chess equation of why would we take that guy in the middle of the first round when we can take a slightly worse receiver, but he's only one tier down on our board, in the next round and get better value there, and we can get a much better player at a different position where it's going to drop off a shelf, the talent at that position.
As far as I look at this, Xavier Worthy is a guy that, you know, we talk about a lot, to be going to the Chiefs at 32, obviously ran the 4.21 at the combine. I caution people because he was actually a good player before the speed. We knew he was going to be fast at the combine. He did have 27 touchdowns his last 3 years at Texas. But to me, he's a lot like Hollywood Brown. And yep. I know they might only keep Hollywood Brown for a year. I doubt he's gonna price himself out of the market the next year. But Xavier Worthy, to me, is the same guy. Now, if you want to go Legion of Zoom and bring the Chiefs in the speed on offense, that's the way to go. You had the Chiefs go in a different direction at 32, and it's actually the popular consent, either wide receiver or tackle. But you go Jordan Morgan, the tackle from Oregon at 32. He fits the profile. He's 34 5/8 in arms. Andy Reid, by the way, is 34 1/4. Like, that's his average arm length for tackles. Like, he really doesn't go under that.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Morgan, you know, a kid, we're going to have to parse this, the individual team that takes him and how do they see him, whatever. Some people think he's an inside guy. He's hitting dead red on the guard going to the next level. Some people think he can hang at offensive tackle. We'll have to see about that because of the length stuff. You know, a kid measured in just under 6'5", 312, but an athletic kid, a guy that I comp to L. Collins, someone coming out of LSU where there was similar questions, like, is he going to be a guard? Is he going to be a tackle? Different stuff like that. But the way that you set that up, it was exactly how I thought about it. Like, because I think in my previous mock, I'd given Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs. I love that fit. But you bring in Hollywood Brown. There's only really three guys that you can toss out as comps for Worthy. Maybe we'll go up to four. But Hollywood Brown's one of them. The other couple, it's Tank Dell, it's Zay Flowers, and then the other one, if you want to go a little bit further back, would be DeSean Jackson. Those are the four that I've heard from him. But you could argue for sure that you have a superfluous skill sets with bringing in Hollywood Brown. So maybe the Chiefs, you know, instead of looking at a guy like Xavier Worthy now with Hollywood on the roster, maybe you'd look at, if you're going to go a receiver there, maybe go a different type of a receiver, more the traditional boundary guy potentially, or taking one of these other positions. My thought there in giving them Morgan was you have the clear offensive line need, so let's bring him in, potentially compete for a starting job immediately. And then the thing of on day two, like I mentioned before, you're going to get value along in day two at the wide receiver position. Obviously, that's something the Chiefs did to great effect in last year's draft when they plucked Rashee Rice out of there, came in, contributed right away. I think they could get a good value in round two again if they wait on the receiver till then.
How much better do you like this wide receiver class than last year's?
A decent bit more, yeah. I mean, like, because it's not just the three elite dudes. You have the prodigy sitting at the very top, the guy who was given to us by God, Marvin Harrison Jr., and then the two guys outside of that, Neighbors and Odunze, would have been wide receiver one in almost any of these other classes going back. But even, you know, like I mentioned, even outside of that, you go down, you know, Brian Thomas, the freak. Ladd McConkey separates rolling out of bat. He's open more than 7-11. Then you have Worthy, who broke the combine record for speed. Troy Franklin is he's an unorthodox player, but he breaks tackles all the time, and he can win at all three levels. Ricky Pearsall, I think, is criminally underrated. He went and proved that he was an awesome athlete. We already knew he's a tremendous route runner with really good hands. I mean, you just go down. It's, you know, even getting into day three, I could toss out a whole bunch of different guys that I think are going to have productive careers. I love this receiver class. This is one of the better receiver classes we've had in a decade.
You have Marvin Harrison Jr. going fifth. You have Malik Nabers going sixth. The popular thing today, the trend today, is people coming out and saying they may think Malik Nabers is better than Marvin Harrison Jr. I am not to that point. I do like Marvin Harrison Jr. the best out of this. And I think, you know, 4 or 5 years down, you go, man, could have had Marvin Harrison Jr. I like him that much. Is there that much difference? Could a team take Nabers before Marvin Harrison Jr., in your opinion?
I would be surprised about that. But I do think that you know, any of those top three guys, if in any order, I'm not going to argue too hard with the person that, you know, was putting those rankings out just because they're all so good. Nabers and Harrison Jr. are just different, right? Like, Harrison Jr. obviously is the prototypical X-boundary receiver, different guy like that with the size. He has the route running machinations as well. And he proved last year when the quarterback situation went from C.J. Stroud, obviously one of the better pocket passing quarterbacks you've had the last 5-6 years in terms of accuracy, placement, everything like that, being on time, being on schedule, different stuff like that. You go from him to Kyle McCord, who was not as good. Kyle McCord was swiftly kicked out of Columbus, and he had to go about his journey and find a starting spot with Syracuse. That was the quarterback last year for Ohio State. He put Marvin Harrison Jr. into a lot of bad situations, pounding him with targets, different stuff like that. Malik Nabers, it's just totally different. He's the zippy, ludicrous, movement electricity type guy. The stop-start ability is insane with Malik Nabers, and it's not just the athletic profile with him. It's also, like, he's just a super unorthodox player. Players that go, especially that speed, he's the first guy I can place in my memory where he has this quirk where his upper body, he keeps his arms down and he doesn't move his upper body much, either coming off the line or when, this is the particularly rare part about it, when he's at full speed. So when he's running downfield, a lot of times you'll see his arms are sort of stationary on the side. It is really difficult for defensive backs to gauge when is he going to break the route off because of that, because he's not giving you any tells with the upper body. Like, it's pretty stagnant as he's moving, even at these freaky breakneck speeds. But it's also difficult to gauge just how fast he is because of the, you know, just that specific way that he moves. But, yeah, the stuff of, like, the acceleration into and out of the brakes while he's changing direction, it's just really freaky movement. He's a tackle breaker even at his size. Just slightly under 200 pounds. He's better in contested situations, too, than you would think. But, he has that angle breaking speed and different stuff like that. So, yeah, very, very good player.
Thor, do you think the Chiefs, you keep looking at them, if they get an extra pick with L'Jarius Sneed, if they make that deal, could they move down? Because I'm not sure they can get who they want. You have them go on offensive line, which I think you can make a great argument for tackle or wide receiver for the Chiefs. But you look at some of these teams, like how far would you have to go down to get an A.D. Mitchell? Brian Thomas, he started slipping about 2 weeks ago this week. He's back up in the top 20. Don't see that. Maybe Arizona at 27. The Chiefs at this point running out of people to trade with. And they shouldn't. Teams shouldn't trade the Chiefs because you don't want to trade with a contender. But basically, when you look at this board, sitting at 32, you get a better tackle quality than you can wide receiver. If you do get wide receiver, could moving down five spots get maybe the guy you wanted?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, when we're talking about these two positional buckets that we've been talking about, the Chiefs are in a very good spot where those two positional buckets happen to be really, really good. You know, particularly at the top, like we're talking about. There's so many different tackles that I like in this class. You know, like I said, particularly at the top, Tyler Guyton's another one. Would Amarius Mims fall down there? I think the top four tackles, they're going to be going earlier than that. But, like, one of those guys, different guys is going to fall. You know, Guyton, Morgan, Mims, you know, who's going to fall, different stuff like that. Even guys round two, like, I think Patrick Paul in most tackle classes, Patrick Paul, kid from Houston, 6'7", 333 with a 9'8 RAS. In most classes, he would be viewed as more the top second-round pick guy, or even if the top class was a little bit down, he might even be viewed as a late first-rounder. But in this class, he's going to go late second probably because of the depth of that class. But I think the way you're setting that up is right, where you can monitor what's going on above you. You know, if we're in these two positional buckets, is anyone falling down the board that maybe we can strike up for? We can stop their fall, or if it goes the other way, maybe that doesn't happen, or maybe the price point's too high, whatever. If you don't like who's come down there in your thing, and you think that, you know, you're in a tier with you know, one of those two different positions or both of them where there's still multiple guys left there, that's when you can do the trade back thing. You can acquire more picks and you can do different stuff like that. The Chiefs have been so good both at drafting and maneuvering around the board over these past several years that you just trust that they're going to do the right thing with regards to that.
Thor Nystrom is one of the best at ThorKU on Twitter, NFL Draft, college football analyst at Fantasy Pros, at Betting Pros, Fantasy Football Weekly. He's got his latest mock, which I love because he's got player comparisons, and I love these player comparisons that you put out there. I thought you put a lot of time into those, and I can see a lot of these similarities between, but if people go to fantasypros.com, you see that, or go to Thor's Twitter, he's got the link right there as well for his mock draft for everybody in the first round and player comparisons, which I think is really cool. Thor, we'll talk to you again, I'm sure. I can't wait. Love talking draft with you, my friend.
Anytime, brother. Thanks for having me on.
There you go. Thor Nystrom right there. Always enjoy talking to him. I'll react to Thor. We get Ron Copley, the analyst, Arrowhead Pride, coming up at 7:30. But we'll react to some of Thor had to say next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Hey, welcome back. Jay Binkley, Grant Nicholson. It was Thor Nystrom talking NFL Draft. I like that guy. He knows what he's doing, man. He knows what he's talking about, doesn't he? Just rattling it right off.
He was pretty locked in.
Oh, I love that guy, man.
He had everybody in like a mental Rolodex up there. Yeah.
You know, I understand what he's thinking with tackles and receivers. I disagree because I think actually at 32 you can get a better receiver than you can kind of the bottom of the first round tackles. Because, I mean, you're not getting an alt. You're not getting a Joe Alt. Not getting that. Tyler Guyton, Jordan Morgan, these guys. Yeah, Jordan Morgan playing the inside. He played left tackle at least last year. Tyler Guyton. That a lot of people are going with the Chiefs, played right tackle at Oklahoma. And again, they love Oklahoma linemen. Orlando Brown Jr., Oklahoma, Creed Humphrey, Oklahoma, Wanye Morris, they drafted last year, Oklahoma. They do not shy away from Oklahoma guys like they shy away from getting Ohio State guys, which they do not do.
I mean, it's good. I mean, why would you not pick players from the best schools in the nation?
Yeah. I could be talked into offensive line. I hate that, though. I don't really want that. I've been wanting wide receiver the last couple of years, and I really don't want to get off that. Now, if you trade up, then it becomes who you're going to trade with. Because we talked about Deontay Johnson. The Steelers didn't want to make a trade with the Chiefs on that. They're not going to answer their phone call. They didn't answer their phone call at the end of the first round last year. So who are you going to trade with? Because right now at 32 is the Chiefs, 31 is the 49ers. Doubt they trade with you. The Ravens at 30, I think they learned their lesson. Detroit Lions at 29, that remains a maybe. You know, being an NFC team, they don't face them again. Don't have to worry about them until the Super Bowl. But 28 Buffalo Bills, that's not going to happen again. They're tired of the Chiefs. The Chiefs schooled them and got the upper hand when they jumped ahead of them and got Trent McDuffie and they got Harry Elam. Remember that? Then, of course, the Mahomes deal. They're not going to do business with the Chiefs again. The Cardinals at 27, maybe. The Buccaneers at 26, maybe. Green Bay at 25, maybe. 24 is Dallas, but they didn't deal with you last year. they wouldn't do business with the Chiefs last year in the first round. So
it's just a deep wide receiver class. And even though you're picking at pick 32, I still want them to go for a wide receiver.
I do too, 100%. That's
it's something you need. It's a position of need at a time where it's very deep, where we might be able to get a pretty good one.
It's exactly what I want. First. Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider, joined Cody and Gold the other day. He talked about it, you know, exactly this. Nobody wanted to do business with the Chiefs.
Again, talking to a couple people, you know, with the Chiefs this week, like, a lot of teams are hesitant to trade with the Chiefs. This is a team that I think the rest of the NFL, not to say there's any colluding going on, but I think generally speaking, this is a league that doesn't want to help the Chiefs in any capacity. We started to see that last year when they were trying to trade up for receiver in the first round of the NFL draft, and I'd imagine teams are going to be careful with helping the Chiefs in any way. And so it takes two to tango. It's just for Kansas City, if they do want to trade L'Jarius Sneed, it's finding a partner to do so.
Yeah, it goes down with everything. I don't blame teams for not wanting to do business with the Chiefs, and they shouldn't. You get to a certain point. Belichick, teams still traded with him for some reason. I was like shaking my head all the time, like, why are you trading with him? But the Chiefs, don't you think these rivals have learned a lesson? I mean, the Bills and the Ravens both did business with the Chiefs, and the Chiefs become their problem. And a lot of it's, well, no, most of it's, if not all of it's from them, because of them. The Mahomes deal, remember the old tweet the Bills did? Pleasure doing business with the Chiefs. When the Chiefs traded down to get Mahomes. 3 Super Bowl championships later. 4 Super Bowl appearances later. They sold their soul. They dealt with the Chiefs. That's why when they were throwing little snowballs at the Chiefs walking out the field, they should have turned around and thrown their front office. For allowing Mahomes to get to Kansas City. That's one of the biggest blunders in the history of the NFL. If not the biggest blunder by giving the Chiefs a perennial problem in the AFC.
And then to watch that same guy beat you 2 or 3 times now in the playoffs.
Twice in the playoffs winning Super Bowl rings. It's their fault. It's their problem. It's what they did. Thank you, Buffalo. Thank you, Buffalo Bills. They can hate the Chiefs all they want, but you know what? They're responsible for the Chiefs having Patrick Mahomes. 100%. Well, they got Tre'Davious White, who's no longer on their team. Sorry that happened. Ron Kopp, lead analyst, ArrowheadPride.com, next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And welcome back. Jay Binkley, Grant Nicholson. You realize Keenan Allen had his second most catches and yards against the Chiefs out of anybody he played? Mike Williams, number one in catches, number one in yards against the Chiefs in his career. Out of the division now. Gone. Well, who knows about Williams if he'll end up in the division or not. Until all said and done, he could. But let's go to Ron Kopp right now, lead analyst, ArrowheadPride.com. Good evening, Ron.
Good evening, Jay. Thanks for having me on. It's a good time to talk some Chiefs. We had some stuff happen recently. So.
Yeah, let's start with the big move of Marquise Brown. Your initial thoughts on it, the one-year deal. He's on a prove-it deal with the Chiefs, which I think he has every reason to ball out so he can get a nice fat contract. I doubt it's with the Chiefs next year, but in the NFL, which it's kind of the perfect storm getting a guy that's hungry like that.
It really is. No, I thought it was a perfect combination, one that I didn't know if we would get, you know, because my philosophy going into free agency with the wide receiver position was, you know, I either want one of these top tier receivers in this class, which I consider Marquise Brown the last one of the top tier in this class, you know, actual difference makers at the position that you can get. I want one of them, or it's just a 1 year prove it deal. I don't want to give into these Darnell Mooney contracts, these multi-year deals to guys that maybe aren't, you know, true difference makers that, you know, that I think a Marquise Brown is. And that's why it is the best of both worlds, where he is on a prove it deal, right? He is on that Juju Smith-Schuster type deal where, you know, he can get paid, you know, next offseason like Juju did. He did get paid by the Patriots. And there's a chance Marquise could even make even more, because I think his receiving skill set, his ability in this offense is so much more than Juju even could have provided, just because his whole game is predicated on speed, right? And that's why the Chiefs were so in on him. You heard him talk about today during his press conference how the Chiefs were very interested in him during the draft, right, when he was coming out. Well, yeah, it's because this dude ran a 4.27 at his 40. or his pro day, excuse me, a 40-yard dash. And that's what he does, man. And it's so much more than speed, but that's what it's built around, you know, and it really can put a lot of pressure on coverages. But he can also run routes, you know, in the intermediate parts of the field, short parts of the field. He can make some plays after the catch if you give him the right opportunities. I think he's just a great fit in the offense. And you know, on top of that, like you said, he's got that motivation where if he can be that, you know, number one receiver for Mahomes and get, you know, over 1,000 yards, you know, close to double-digit touchdowns, I mean, he's going to get paid next offseason.
I keep seeing that he ran 4.27 at his pro day, but going back there, he didn't compete in the combine, and he was supposed to miss the pro day because of that Liz Frank injury.
Maybe
I've seen both
before then.
No, it says 4.27 pro day, and some publications, some say he missed it.
Right, because I looked into that too, and then I saw some people just say that.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe there's something to it being the pro day before. Like, he could have been, like, before he even was coming out, right?
He could have done it then.
Yeah.
Regardless, it brings the Chiefs back to the Legion of Zoom. I mean, he's got elite speed. We know that.
Exactly.
I will say this. The Xavier Worthy thing is interesting to me now because Xavier Worthy was 165 at the combine. Hollywood Brown was 166. They were nearly identical. Xavier Worthy's a couple inches taller. Both of them are fast. I thought, there's a legitimate chance the Chiefs could take Xavier Worthy, but would you take two guys that are basically the same? Worthy and Brown are the same, or would you just want to beat everybody up with speed because both these guys can fly, both these guys can get down the field, and you're probably going to lose Hollywood Brown after this year. You would definitely be able to keep Xavier Worthy. Or do you go with the taller, more physical wide receiver, or do you even go wide receiver in the first round?
Well, here's the beauty of the one-year deal, right, is that it does give you that flexibility. You know, in my world where I was really envisioning, you know, if they're going to get Marquise Brown, it's going to be a three-year deal, you know, something like a multi-year contract. You know, you maybe kind of corner yourself in where you're not going to take Xavier Worthy, right? Because then you have both of those guys, you know, for long term. But this one-year deal, it does still give you that flexibility to really pick the receiver you want in the long term no matter what. And, hey, you know, if Marquise Brown goes off this year and you want to try to make it work, it's just, you know, again, it's going to be Legion of Zoom talking about if you do draft an Xavier Worthy. But, back to my philosophy, you know, with that in mind, knowing, you know, that maybe it would have been a multi-year deal, I still would be enticed to go for one of these X receivers, right, you know, to pair with Marquise Brown, you know, really still have a big body on the outside of the perimeter. But that still can be that deep threat, too, and allow him, Marquise Brown, to operate underneath, not just have to, you know, be that perimeter guy. So, you know, I'm still in favor of that, but I like their flexibility. But I still do want them to attack receiver first. I really would love to see them just do it because, you know, I think for all the things we've talked about, there's a chance Brown's not a part of the Chiefs next year. And if you don't attack a first-round receiver, then we might be in the same bucket next year where we're saying, well, who is going to be that guy next to Rice? And really, you know, as Kelce gets older and older. So, yeah, I think it is still important they attack receiver early. I would hope it's day one. If not, it's got to be the second-round pick.
It gives them some definite speed because Rice is 4.51 guy, but these guys are far faster than that. So you build a wide receiver room. I do like the fact that Gus Johnson nicknamed him. I do love the fact that he gave the name Hollywood back when he was at Oklahoma because he's from Hollywood, Florida, right? I thought that the connection from Gus Johnson was funny, but you know, when you think...
He said he prefers to go by it.
He likes it.
Yeah, hey, I love it. Go by it. You know, embrace it.
Andy Reid was texting him during the recruiting process. That never hurts.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. He's just like the perfect, you know, Andy Reid receiver in terms of having that speed, the Jeremy Maclin kind of speed, that DeSean Jackson kind of speed, you know, where, you know, I think they have that burning ability, you know, in terms of DeSean Jackson. I mean, that's a different story, but... I do think, you know, he can get down the sideline, really put some pressure on corners down the field. But that's the thing. I've highlighted an article for the site that I do think is something that when you watch him and Chiefs fans, when you watch MVS these past few years, I do think it could be noticeable to you that, you know, he really does a good job of not only, you know, getting, you know, being fast and getting down the field fast, right? But just making sure he can also utilize that as a route runner to the sideline on comeback routes or just routes coming back to the quarterback where, he really does a good job of setting those up and just really, you know, planting his foot at the right time where that cornerback's really on his heels. And that's where he is just a much better receiver, in my opinion, overall than what they've had in the position he's going to be playing. So I am excited for him in this Andy Reid offense.
If it wasn't receiver, which I'm with you, you take a receiver in the first round, what is the one other position that you could stomach?
Well, you know, I wanted to say defensive tackle, but they keep patching up this defensive tackle room with all this, the same old guys, which, you know, there's nothing against the guys they've been re-signing, right? But I do think there is just something where they need an influx of young talent. They need to give someone besides, you know, Chris Jones. You know, they need a legit pick in there, right? And not just these veterans that are they're playing solid snaps for you, and they have been, right? These guys, Mike Pinnell, Derek Nnadi, Tershawn Wharton, have been playing solid snaps for you. But yeah, I'd love to see them early, and even if it's, you know, maybe round two, day two, if they have to trade up or something. Like Chris Jenkins, I really think would be a good fit for what Spags wants. You know, just being that big guy that can also do it, you know, a few different things. He's not just a gap plugger, but he's, you know, he can also kind of, you know, he can get on the outside a little bit and kind of hold the edge there too. So, defensive tackle is an intriguing position this year for sure, but they could wait on a little bit. I mean, there's a few interesting guys later on. You know, like a guy like Dwayne Carter has been intriguing to me recently from Duke. You know, he's a guy that can kind of pop off and give you some moves on the inside, you know, in that day two range. So, you know, there's a few guys at defensive tackle I'd like to see them go up early.
One thing about Hollywood Brown is he catches the ball. 3.6 career drop rate, 3% last year, only three drops. Last year, three drops the year before. He had like nine his first year. That's come way down. But the Chiefs have to like the fact that he catches the football.
Well, and that's one thing it sounds like the best thing to highlight about him maybe, or the most prominent thing. But I keep wanting to talk about his play strength when I talk about Marquise Brown. He plays bigger. For his size, you know, he is 5'9", 180, you talked about it. But I'm not talking maybe after the catch, you know, he's not going to be a tackle breaker. I'm not talking maybe, you know, but, you know, as he's running routes, because I do think, you know, he's going to get taken off his coverage at times of physical, or his route at times of physical coverage. But when he's going up for the ball, and when he is you know, on the sideline, and it's him in a corner going up for that ball, he is always playing much bigger than his size. He's very good at naturally boxing out corners, very good at, you know, jumping at the highest point, timing his catches. And he'll go over guys. I mean, he has catches in his highlight reel, a highlight tape, where he is jumping, you know, over cornerbacks and is securing the ball as they're trying to defend it. You know, I obviously it's not something you want to depend on with anybody, you know, especially someone at his size, but it's just something that, you know, and no matter, you know, how big you are, you know, in terms of MBS's size, you know, he just didn't have that natural instinct to go up and get the ball. He really did not. And this guy does, man. And that's something where, you know, if Mahomes is just bailing out and throwing 60 yards downfield and it is just one-on-one, you know, Tyreek kind of had that ability too. I think Marquise Brown's just a ball player, man. He's not just a speedy guy. He's a guy that's going to compete at the catch point. And you will see it in his play. And so that's something exciting about him too.
What do you make of Legarius Sneed? Or the conflicting reports, beat writers, Adam Schefter said there's been no talks with the Chiefs. There's been other people linking him with the Indianapolis Colts. Do you think that deal is going to be done? I'm kind of leaning towards him being traded at the draft, if traded at all.
And that would make sense, right? Because what I think the Chiefs are at a point where why would they not just hold out for the best possible offer? And I think there's reason to believe that still won't come until you're kind of putting pressure on teams right before the draft, where, you know, they're kind of seeing how things are going down. Because that's the thing, is the Chiefs have structured their space right now where they can just play him on the franchise tag if they really wanted to. And hey, that's the thing, is team and trade partners are going to know that. And I think it's not the worst idea in the world if you're really going for a three-peat. You know, I think I'd love to see Legarius sign long term, but you also don't want to trade him away for a fourth round pick. You know, if that's really what the compensation is going to be, because it sounds like, you know, a third round pick is something that is maybe it's not. We haven't heard second round pick at all. I think that's all been speculation. It sounds like that hasn't been really truly thrown out there. And you know, if third round pick is what they're kind of fighting over, and Legarius needs obviously, you know, wanting to get the proper deal. You know, if it's not going to be the right compensation, yeah, I think you hold on. I think you make your team as good as possible in 2024, and you go for that three-peat. So, you know, it's just it's one of those things where, yeah, I think the Chiefs really have all the reason to kind of just see what teams have, see if one team really does say, look, you know, when it comes down to it, we really want a talented player. We really want to go for it this year. They, you know, the more they look at this draft class, the more they, you know, they're willing to give up, you know, a third-round pick or something. or you know, it, you know, more would be better. But it sounds like a third round is going to be that compensation. So yeah, I think you're right. I do see eventually it happening, just because he is such a talented player. And I think it sounds like, you know, maybe that the contract stuff just needs to get worked out to an extent too.
What do you feel they're going to do at the running back position? Grab somebody in the draft again, because it is not top heavy with running backs, but there are some serviceable running backs in the later rounds or undrafted. Or do you think they make a move on maybe getting a veteran in here, that third wave of free agency? If you didn't draft somebody, you'll get somebody. I have a feeling they're going to take a running back.
They got to be drafting a running back at this point, because I was kind of a little surprised that we didn't maybe see them take a swing at one of these running backs, like you just mentioned, on the free agent market that did go elsewhere. Although, you know, they did sign for a little more money than maybe I thought some of them would. I thought maybe like Eckler would intrigue him a little bit. You know,
yeah,
I just thought, you know, maybe
it.
His right. And then he had a reasonable deal in Washington, but there's still some guys out there. You know, one crazy one, you know, and I don't know how Chiefs fans would like about this, but as a veteran back and, you know, not too veteran, but a guy like Ezekiel Elliott really did show some stuff as a pass catcher last year with New England. And he has that pass protection down. He's going to be a great blocker. That's what Jerick McKinnon was for this team. So, you know, as time goes on, man, he's not a bad option to pair with Pacheco. They're both going to be hard, strong runners as well. But you still need that explosive, that playmaker back, right? And so you're not going to get that in free agency anymore, I don't think, unless there's a guy I'm missing. I think you do have to get that in the draft. So, yeah, I think you have to be drafting, you know, someone, you know, not too late, right? You got to, you know, let's get some juice in the backfield with Pacheco.
Yeah, the one thing with running backs is you get in, then you get out. I feel the same way with receivers. You don't pay that heavy-duty contract and you draft them, because these receiver market's getting crazy.
Yeah, and there's going to be so many receivers coming out, you know, in the future years. I mean, we're already seeing it. But running backs, you know, are going to just get undervalued more and more, and that's where a guy like Pacheco in the seventh round, you're going to continue to see guys. And so Brett Veach has got to take advantage of that. I'm sure you might get a couple swings at the running back position in the draft, honestly, the way they haven't been attacking it in free agency.
Like, we're seeing the safety market go way, way, way down. Not extinct like fullbacks, but it's going way down.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I think, you know, Justin Reed, you know, you want to give him credit for not being even really considered, right, as someone that you want to kind of get rid of as a cap casualty. Because, you know, you can save $10 million if you cut Justin Reed straight up, right? He's a dead cap number. He has that cap savings number. But they're not going to do that. And why would you? Because he is a very, very crucial part of this defense. I just think that's kind of, you know, it's notable. It's remarkable for him, because I think there's some people that would have put him in that same MVS category. And, you know, I might have been in that realm, you know, last year, you know, as early as last year, you know, in 2022, you know, you might have put him in that MVS category where you're fine with kind of, you know, moving on, giving Shamari Connor the role, you know, because he was definitely. So you got to give Justin Reed credit for being so valuable to this team that, you know, even at a safety position that, you know, it seems to be kind of, like you're saying, the market's dying down. The Chiefs are willing to pay him what they're paying him.
Always like talking NFL draft with you, Ron. We'll talk it again with you. But Ron Kopp, lead analyst for ArrowheadPride.com and friend of the show. Thanks, Ron.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jay.
There you go, Ron Kopp right there. React to what some of the things Ron Kopp said, and we'll have a Hollywood Browns press conference coming up here at 8, what he said earlier today. I think he's a really interesting guy. We'll do that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
At this point, the Chiefs have 7 draft picks. Pick 32, pick 64. So the last of the first round, the last of the second round. Pick 95 in the third. There's 6 behind them because that's where the comp picks joined in. Pick 132, pick 159, pick 173. That was pick 172, but it jumped to 173 because the Bengals got an extra comp pick, and so it moved everybody.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Grant Nicholson. You realize Keenan Allen had the second most catches and yards against the Chiefs out of anybody he played? Mike Williams, number one in catches, number one in yards against the Chiefs in his career. Out of the division now. Gone. Well, who knows about Williams if he'll end up in the division or not. Until all said and done, he could. But let's go to Ron Kopp right now, lead analyst, arrowheadpride.com. Good evening, Ron.
Good evening, Jay. Thanks for having me on. It's a good time to talk some Chiefs. We had some stuff happen recently. So.
Yeah, let's start with the big move of Marquise Brown. Your initial thoughts on it, the one-year deal. He's on a prove-it deal with the Chiefs, which I think he has every reason to ball out so he can get a nice fat contract. I doubt it's with the Chiefs next year, but in the NFL, which it's kind of the perfect storm getting a guy that's hungry like that.
It really is. No, I thought it was a perfect combination, one that I didn't know if we would get, you know, because my philosophy going into free agency with the wide receiver position was, you know, I either want one of these top-tier receivers in this class, which I consider Marquise Brown the last one of the top tier in this class, you know, actual difference makers at the position that you can get. I want one of them, or it's just a one-year prove-it deal. I don't want to give into these Darnell Mooney contracts, these multi-year deals to guys that maybe aren't, you know, true difference makers that, you know, that I think a Marquise Brown is. And that's why it is the best of both worlds, where he is on a prove-it deal, right? He is on that Juju Smith-Schuster type deal where, you know, he can get paid, you know, next offseason like Juju did. He did get paid by the Patriots. And there's a chance Marquise could even make even more, because I think his receiving skill set, his ability in this offense is so much more than Juju even could have provided, just because his whole game is predicated on speed, right? And that's why the Chiefs were so in on him. You heard him talk about today during his press conference how the Chiefs were very interested in him during the draft, right, when he was coming out. Well, yeah, it's because this dude ran a 4.27 at his 40, or his pro day, excuse me, a 40-yard dash. And that's what he does, man. And it's so much more than speed, but that's what it's built around, you know. And it really can put a lot of pressure on coverages. But he can also run routes, you know, in the intermediate parts of the field. Short parts of the field, he can make some plays after the catch if you give him the right opportunities. I think he's just a great fit in the offense. And you know, on top of that, like you said, he's got that motivation where if he can be that, you know, number one receiver for Mahomes and get, you know, over 1,000 yards, you know, close to double-digit touchdowns, I mean, he's going to get paid next offseason.
I keep seeing that he ran 4.27 at his pro day, but going back there, he didn't compete in the combine, and he was supposed to miss the pro day because of that Liz Frank injury.
Maybe
I've seen both
before then.
No, it says 4.27 pro day, and some publications, some say he missed it.
Right, because I looked into that too, and then I saw some people just say that.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe there's something to it being the pro day before. Like, he could have been, like, before he even was coming out, right?
He could have done it then.
Yeah.
Regardless, it brings the Chiefs back to the Legion of Zoom. I mean, he's got elite speed. We know that.
Exactly.
I will say this. The Xavier Worthy thing is interesting to me now, because Xavier Worthy was 165 at the combine. Hollywood Brown was 166. They were nearly identical. Xavier Worthy's a couple inches taller. Both of them are fast. I thought that, okay, there's a legitimate chance the Chiefs could take Xavier Worthy. But would you take two guys that are basically the same? Worthy and Brown are the same? Or would you just want to beat everybody up with speed, because both these guys can fly, both these guys can get down the field, and you're probably going to lose Hollywood Brown after this year? You would definitely be able to keep Xavier Worthy. Or do you go with the taller, more physical wide receiver, or do you even go wide receiver in the first round?
Well, here's the beauty of the one-year deal, right, is that it does give you that flexibility. You know, in my world where I was really envisioning, you know, if they're going to get Marquise Brown, it's going to be a three-year deal. You know, something like a multi-year contract, you know, you maybe kind of corner yourself in where you're not going to take Xavier Worthy, right? Because then you have both of those guys, you know, for long-term. But this one-year deal, it does still give you that flexibility to really pick the receiver you want in the long-term no matter what. And, hey, you know, if Marquise Brown goes off this year and you want to try to make it work, it's just, you know, again, it's going to be Legion of Zoom. Talking about if you do draft an Xavier Worthy. But back to my philosophy, you know, with that in mind, knowing, you know, that maybe it would have been a multi-year deal, I still would be enticed to go for one of these X receivers, right? To pair with Marquise Brown, really still have a big body on the outside of the perimeter. But that still can be that deep threat too, and allow him, Marquise Brown, to operate underneath, not just have to, you know, be that perimeter guy. So, you know, I'm still in favor of that, but I like their flexibility. But I still do want them to attack receiver first. I really would love to see them just do it. Because I think for all the things we've talked about, there's a chance Brown's not a part of the Chiefs next year. And if you don't attack a first round receiver, then we might be in the same bucket next year where we're saying, well, who is going to be that guy next to Rice? And really, you know, as Kelsey gets older and older. So, yeah, I think it is still important they attack receiver early. I would hope it's day one. If not, it's got to be the second round pick.
It gives them some definite speed because Rice is 4.51 guy, but these guys are far faster than that. So you build a wide receiver room. I do like the fact that Gus Johnson nicknamed him. I do love the fact that he gave him the name Hollywood back when he was at Oklahoma because he's from Hollywood, Florida, right? I thought that the connection from Gus Johnson was funny, but you know, when you think,
he said he prefers to go by it.
He likes it.
Today. Yeah, hey, I love it. Go by it. You know, embrace it.
Andy Reid was texting him during the recruiting process. That never hurts.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. He's just like the perfect, you know, Andy Reid receiver in terms of having that speed, the Jeremy Maclin kind of speed, that DeSean Jackson kind of speed. I think they have that burning ability. You know, in terms of DeSean Jackson, I mean, that's a different story, but. I do think, you know, he can get down the sideline, really put some pressure on corners down the field. But that's the thing. I've highlighted an article for the site that I do think is something that when you watch him and Chiefs fans, when you watch MVS these past few years, I do think it could be noticeable to you that, you know, he really does a good job of not only, you know, getting, you know, being fast and getting down the field fast, right? But just making sure he can also utilize that as a route runner to the sideline on comeback routes or just routes coming back to the quarterback where, he really does a good job of setting those up and just really, you know, planting his foot at the right time where that cornerback's really on his heels. And that's where he is just a much better receiver, in my opinion, overall than what they've had in the position he's going to be playing. So I am excited for him in this Andy Reid offense.
If it wasn't receiver, which I'm with you, you take a receiver in the first round, what is the one other position that you could stomach?
Well, you know, I wanted to say defensive tackle, but they keep patching up this defensive tackle room with all this the same old guys. Which, you know, there's nothing against the guys they've been re-signing, right? But I do think there is just something where they need an influx of young talent. They need to give someone besides Chris Jones. You know, they need a legit pick in there, right? And not just these veterans that are they're playing solid snaps for you. And they have been, right? These guys, Mike Pinnell, Derek Nnadi, Tershawn Wharton, have been playing solid snaps for you. But, yeah, I'd love to see them early. And even if it's, you know, maybe round two, day two, if they have to trade up or something. Like Chris Jenkins, I really think would be a good fit for what Spags wants. You know, just being that big guy that can also do, you know, a few different things. He's not just a gap plugger, but he's, you know, he can also kind of, you know, he can get on the outside a little bit and kind of hold the edge there too. So, defensive tackle is an intriguing position this year for sure, but they could wait on a little bit. I mean, there's a few interesting guys later on, you know, like a guy like Dwayne Carter has been intriguing to me recently from Duke. He's a guy that can kind of pop off and give you some moves on the inside, in that day two range. So, you know, there's a few guys at defensive tackle I'd like to see them go up early.
One thing about Hollywood Brown is he catches the ball. 3.6 career drop rate, 3% last year, only three drops. Last year, three drops the year before. He had like nine his first year. That's come way down. But the Chiefs have to like the fact that he catches the football.
Well, and that's one thing it sounds like the best thing to highlight about him maybe or the most prominent thing, but I keep wanting to talk about his play strength when I talk about Marquise Brown. He plays bigger for his size, you know, he is 5'9", 180, you talked about it. But I'm not talking maybe after the catch, you know, he's not going to be a tackle breaker. I'm not talking maybe, you know, as he's running routes, because I do think, you know, he's going to get taken off his coverage at times of physical – or his route at times of physical coverage. But when he's going up for the ball and when he is on the sideline and it's him in a corner going up for that ball, he is always playing much bigger than his size. He's very good at naturally boxing out corners, very good at, you know, jumping at the highest point, timing his catches. And he'll go over guys. I mean, he has catches in his highlight reel. a highlight tape where he is jumping, you know, over cornerbacks and is securing the ball as they're trying to defend it. You know, I you know, obviously it's not something you want to depend on with anybody, you know, especially someone at his size, but it's just something that, you know, no matter, you know, how big you are, you know, in terms of MBS's size, you know, he just didn't have that natural instinct to go up and get the ball. He really did not. And this guy does, man. And that's something where, you know, if Mahomes is just bailing out and throwing 6 yards downfield and it is just one-on-one, you know, Tyreek kind of had that ability too. I think Marquise Brown's just a ball player, man. He's not just a speedy guy. He's a guy that's going to compete at the catch point, and you will see it in his play. And so that's something exciting about him too.
What do you make of Legarius Sneed? Or the conflicting reports, beat writers, Adam Schefter said there's been no talks with the Chiefs. There's been other people linking him with the Indianapolis Colts. Do you think that deal is going to be done? I'm kind of leaning towards him being traded at the draft, if traded at all.
And that would make sense, right? Because what I think the Chiefs are at a point where why would they not just hold out for the best possible offer? And I think there's reason to believe that still won't come until you're kind of putting pressure on teams right before the draft, where, you know, they're kind of seeing how things are going down. Because that's the thing, is the Chiefs have structured their space right now where they can just play him on the franchise tag if they really wanted to. And hey, that's the thing, is team and trade partners are going to know that. And I think it's not the worst idea in the world if you're really going for a three-peat. You know, I think I'd love to see Legarius sign long term, but you also don't want to trade him away for a fourth round pick, you know, if that's really what the compensation is going to be. Because it sounds like, you know, a third round pick is something that is maybe, it's not, we haven't heard second round pick at all. I think that's all been speculation. It sounds like that hasn't been really truly thrown out there. And you know, if third round pick is what they're kind of fighting over, and Legarius needs obviously, you know, wanting to get the proper deal. You know, if it's not going to be the right compensation, yeah, I think you hold on. I think you make your team as good as possible in 2024, and you go for that three-peat. So, you know, it's just it's one of those things where, yeah, I think the Chiefs really have all the reason to kind of just see what teams have, see if one team really does say, look, you know, when it comes down to it, we really want a talented player. We really want to go for it this year. They, you know, the more they look at this draft class, the more they, you know, they're willing to give up, you know, a third-round pick or something. Or, you know, more would be better, but it sounds like a third round is going to be that compensation. So, yeah, I think you're right. I do see eventually it happening, just because he is such a talented player. And I think it sounds like, you know, maybe that the contract stuff just needs to get worked out to an extent too.
What do you feel they're going to do at the running back position? Grab somebody in the draft again? Because it is, not top heavy with running backs, but there are some serviceable running backs in the later rounds or undrafted. Or do you think they make a move on maybe getting a veteran in here, that third wave of free agency? If you didn't draft somebody, you'll get somebody. I have a feeling they're going to take a running back.
They got to be drafting a running back at this point, because I was kind of a little surprised that we didn't maybe see them take a swing at one of these running backs, like you just mentioned, on the free agent market that did go elsewhere. Although, you know, they did sign for a little more money than maybe I thought some of them would. I thought maybe like Eckler would intrigue him a little bit. You know,
yeah,
I just thought, you know, maybe
it.
His right, and he had a reasonable deal in Washington, but there's still some guys out there. You know, one crazy one. You know, and I don't know how Chiefs fans would like about this, but as a veteran back, and you know, not too veteran, but a guy like Ezekiel Elliott really did show some stuff as a pass catcher last year with New England, and he has that pass protection down. He's going to be a great blocker. That's what Jerick McKinnon was for this team. So, you know, as time goes on, man, he's not a bad option to pair with Pacheco. They're both going to be hard, strong runners as well. But you still need that explosive, that playmaker back, right? And so you're not going to get that in free agency anymore, I don't think, unless there's a guy I'm missing. I think you do have to get that in the draft. So, yeah, I think you have to be drafting, you know, someone, you know, not too late, right? You got to, you know, let's get some juice in the backfield with Pacheco.
Well, the one thing with running backs is you get in, then you get out. I feel the same way with receivers. You don't pay that heavy-duty contract, and you draft them, because these receiver market's getting crazy.
Yeah, and there's going to be so many receivers coming out, you know, in the future years. I mean, we're already seeing it. But running backs, you know, are going to just get undervalued more and more, and that's where a guy like Pacheco in the seventh round, you're going to continue to see guys. And so Brett Veach has got to take advantage of that. I'm sure you might get a couple swings at the running back position in the draft, honestly, the way they haven't been attacking it in free agency.
Like we're seeing the safety market go way, way, way down. Not extinct like fullbacks, but it's going way down.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I think, you know, Justin Reed, you know, you want to give him credit for not being even really considered, right, as someone that you want to kind of get rid of as a cap casualty. Because, you know, you can save $10 million if you cut Justin Reed straight up, right? He's a dead cap number. He has a cap savings number. But they're not going to do that. And why would you? Because he is a very, very crucial part of this defense. I just think that's kind of, you know, it's notable. It's remarkable for him because I think there's some people that would have put him in that same MVS category. And, you know, I might have been in that realm, you know, last year, you know, as early as last year, you know, in 2022, you know, you might have put him in that MVS category where you're fine with kind of, you know, moving on, giving Shamari Connor the role, you know, because he was definitely – so you got to give Justin Reed credit for – being so valuable to this team that, you know, even at a safety position that, you know, it seems to be kind of, like you're saying, the market's dying down. The Chiefs are willing to pay him what they're paying him.
Always like talking NFL draft with you, Ron. We'll talk it again with you. But Ron Kopp, lead analyst for ArrowheadPride.com and friend of the show. Thanks, Ron.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jay.
There you go, Ron Kopp right there. React to some of the things Ron Kopp said, and we'll have a Hollywood Browns press conference coming up here at 8, what he said earlier today. I think he's a really interesting guy. We'll do that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
At this point, the Chiefs have 7 draft picks. Pick 32, pick 64. So the last of the first round, the last of the second round. Pick 95 in the third. There's 6 behind them because that's where the comp picks joined in. Pick 132, pick 159, pick 173. That was pick 172, but it jumped to 173 because the Bengals got an extra comp pick, and so it moved everybody back one. Round 7, pick 252 is their close to Mr. Irrelevant, which can turn into a Super Bowl quarterback in Brock Purdy, I guess. And I still don't know how he fell to where he did. There's 257 picks in this year's draft, but I don't see how the NFL spends so much time, so much resources, so much energy looking at quarterbacks, how you have a guy take his team to the Super Bowl picked the last pick in the NFL draft. It's an interesting deal.
It's probably because he's not very good, Bink.
Well, but the thing is, good or not good, he did get him to the Super Bowl.
You're not wrong. He's just not very good, though.
I'm not a big fan of it or whatever, but still, take a 7th-round pick like that, last pick in the draft, take you to the Super Bowl, when all these teams are throwing darts at first-round quarterbacks, doesn't work.
I just would be surprised if the success is sustainable with him at quarterback.
Well, I mean, that's a good question.
He wasn't even going to be the guy.
Remember Tom Brady? They wanted Brady.
Shanahan's just going to scheme him into being a good quarterback every year? He can't win games by himself. The only reason they beat the Lions is because he bounced a deep ball off the defender's head. It's the only reason they made it to the Super Bowl.
This 2022 quarterback class, remember 2020 was bad. That was the COVID quarterbacks. Jury's still out on Trevor Lawrence. You remember Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback taken in that draft?
Fly, Eagles, fly.
He's now with the Philadelphia Eagles. That was a bad, bad quarterback draft. Kenny Pickett went 20th to the Pittsburgh Steelers, 2022.
Small hands.
Everybody's looking for the quarterback, man. Everybody's looking for that guy.
Kenny Pickett, small hands.
Kenny Pickett sure got out of town when they got Russell Wilson, didn't he?
I mean, it's
changes kind of scenery. But it's what teams are doing now. Even if they draft you the first round, it doesn't matter because they got to have a quarterback. They're so starved for quarterbacks. That's why Atlanta gave Kirk Cousins that big contract despite having only one playoff win. Coming off an Achilles and being 36 years old.
Why are teams so scared to develop quarterbacks? Why are they so scared to just
They don't have the patience. They expect to win and win now.
It's not realistic. You're just going to churn through a bunch of guys who could be good, but you're not willing to give them more than 20 games to prove that they're any good.
Well, the good news is a lot of the guys are sticking around now a little bit longer because of Neil. When they're not ready, they don't have those 20 starts in college football under their belt. But I remember when Derek Carr in 14, he was picked in the 2nd round that year, and he's the best of the bunch as far as Courtney. He's no great shakes because that draft was Blake Bortles in the 1st round. You had the quarterback situation where you had Johnny Manziel that year, and you had Derek Carr in the 2nd round that's turned out to be Teddy Bridgewater was in that class. And then the second round, you had Derek Carr.
Is 20 games, you mentioned that 20 games, Mark, is that the amount of games that's kind of the differentiator between if you're going to be a good quarterback
or a bad
quarterback?
Well, it gets you 2 years of starting at least, or at least part of 2 years starting.
Yeah, it's true.
Not just that 1 year flash in the pan. Like Zach Wilson, like he put up good numbers his last year at BYU, but that was COVID, right? Or you didn't have conference games. You scheduled Coastal Carolina in the middle of the week. The year before, he was pretty bad. Like Zach Wilson's numbers, his quarterback, his touchdown, the interception ratio was bad. He turned it around that year, but do you caution it with that? But these teams decided they're moving away from these quarterbacks early, man, and they're trading them from a penny on the dollar. It's like Sam Howell being moved already from Washington, who actually led the NFL in passing yards, what, deep into the season last year. They're done with him. Move on. It's time to get somebody else. I get it, man. I think Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and all these CJ Stroud, all these guys are making teams so remorseful they didn't find a way to get them. And you know, this year with Caleb Williams, Drake May going, JJ McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, a couple of those guys just aren't going to pan out. We'd like to say they all are, but they're not going to.
I mean, history tells us like only one of those guys likely will be like a significant starter for like a decade plus.
And if you're Chicago, you don't want to jack it up again.
I'm just glad he's going to the NFC.
They have so much pressure on them. Caleb Williams is obviously going to be their choice. So much pressure for him to work out. Because if Jaden Daniels is the star in this draft, Bears fans are going to be Mitch Trubisky'd again.
Yeah. I mean, surely Caleb Williams is at least serviceable.
I like Caleb Williams.
It seems like he's a good quarterback.
You know, as far as getting to the playoffs, didn't happen. I remember when he won the Heisman. All the other candidates that were there at the Heisman went to the college football playoffs. He didn't. He keeps losing to Utah. I know there's those kind of problems with Caleb Williams, but they cannot jack up. Ryan Poles' job's on the line with this.
Caleb Williams, he cries after games and
he
wears fingernail polish. Can't trust him.
I know, but you look at total yards. You know, last year he was way up there, then he slipped back, Sam Howell. But again, you're getting these quarterbacks and just moving on. Which I like that philosophy.
Well,
if it's not your guy, find your guy.
At least he's got a decent defense in Chicago. That defense at USC couldn't stop a nosebleed.
No, they couldn't. They were horrible.
They were awful.
I remember watching that San Jose State game they played in game one, going, this ain't going to cut it. Or when they played Colorado, and Colorado was just going up and down the field on them. They built that big lead, then here comes Colorado back.
And Colorado was awful. They were not a good football team last year.
It turned out that way, yeah. But they're coming to the Big 12. How about that?
Cat's going to Boulder next year.
Yeah.
We get Deion in his house.
It's kind of cool you're getting Deion back to the Big 12. Well, not back to the Big 12, in the Big 12 for the first time. Coming up next, Marquise Brown had his press conference today, and it was quite good. Learn all about Marquise Brown. What name does he like, Marquise or Hollywood? He tells you next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic view.
At this point, the Chiefs have 7 draft picks. Pick 32, pick 64. So the last of the first round, the last of the second round. Pick 95 in the third. There's 6 behind them because that's where the comp picks joined in. Pick 132, pick 159, pick 173. That was pick 172, but it jumped to 173 because the Bengals got an extra comp pick, and so it moved everybody back one. Round 7, pick 252 is their close to Mr. Irrelevant, which can turn into a Super Bowl quarterback in Brock Purdy, I guess. And I still don't know how he fell to where he did. There's 257 picks in this year's draft. But I don't see how the NFL spends so much time, so much resources, so much energy looking at quarterbacks, how you have a guy take his team to the Super Bowl picked the last pick in the NFL draft. It's an interesting deal.
It's probably because he's not very good, Bink.
Well, but the thing is, good or not good, he did get him to the Super Bowl.
You're not wrong. He's just not very good,
though. I'm not a big fan of it or whatever, but still, you take a 7th-round pick like that, last pick in the draft, take you to the Super Bowl. When all these teams are throwing darts at first-round quarterbacks, it doesn't work.
I just would be surprised if the success is sustainable with him at quarterback.
Well, I mean, that's a good question.
He's just going to have
He wasn't even going to be the guy. Remember Tom Brady? They wanted Brady.
They're just going to Shanahan's just going to scheme him into being a good quarterback every year. He can't win games by himself. The only reason they beat the Lions is because he bounced a deep ball off the defender's head. It's the only reason they made it to the Super Bowl.
This 2022 quarterback class. Remember, 2020 was bad. That was the COVID quarterbacks. Jury's still out on Trevor Lawrence. You remember Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback taken in that draft?
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Who's now with the Philadelphia Eagles. That was a bad, bad quarterback draft. Kenny Pickett went 20th to the Pittsburgh Steelers, 2022.
Small
everybody,
hands.
Everybody's looking for the quarterback, man. Everybody's looking for that guy.
Kenny Pickett, small hands.
Kenny Pickett sure got out of town when he got Russell Wilson, didn't he?
I mean, it's
changes kind of scenery, but it's what teams are doing now. Even if they draft you the first round, it doesn't matter because they got to have a quarterback. They're so starved for quarterbacks. That's why Atlanta gave Kirk Cousins that big contract, despite having only one playoff win, coming off an Achilles and being 36 years old.
Why are teams so scared to develop quarterbacks? Why are they so scared to just
they don't have the patience. They expect to win and win now.
It's not realistic. You're just going to churn through a bunch of guys who could be good, but you're not willing to give them more than 20 games to prove that they're any good.
Well, the good news is a lot of the guys are sticking around now a little bit longer because of nil. When they're not ready, they don't have those 20 starts in college football under their belt. But I remember with Derek Carr in 14, he was picked in the second round that year, and he's the best of the bunch as far as Courtney. He's no great shakes because that draft was Blake Bortles in the first round. You had the quarterback situation where you had Johnny Manziel that year, and you had Derek Carr in the second round. That's turned out to be Teddy Bridgewater was in that class. And then the second round, you had Derek Carr.
Is 20 games, you mentioned that 20 games, Mark, is that the amount of games that's kind of the differentiator between if you're going to be a good quarterback or a bad quarterback?
Well, it gets you 2 years of starting at least, or at least part of 2 years starting.
Yeah, it's true.
Not just that 1 year flash in the pan. Like Zach Wilson, like he put up good numbers his last year at BYU, but that was COVID, right? Where you didn't have conference games. You scheduled Coastal Carolina in the middle of the week. The year before, he was pretty bad. Like Zach Wilson's numbers, his touchdown interception ratio was bad. He turned it around that year, but do you caution it with that? But these teams decided they're moving away from these quarterbacks early, man, and they're trading them from a penny on the dollar. It's like Sam Howell being moved already from Washington, who actually led the NFL in passing yards, what, deep into the season last year. They're done with him. Move on. It's time to get somebody else. I get it, man. I think Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and all these C.J. Stroud, all these guys are making teams so remorseful they didn't find a way to get them. And you know this year, with Caleb Williams, Drake May going, J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, a couple of those guys just aren't going to pan out. We'd like to say they all are, but they're not going to.
I mean, history tells us like only one of those guys likely will be like a significant starter for like a decade plus.
And if you're Chicago, you don't want to jack it up again.
I'm just glad he's going to the NFC.
They have so much pressure on them. Caleb Williams is obviously going to be their choice. So much pressure for him to work out. Because if Jaden Daniels is the star in this draft, Bears fans are going to be Mitch Trubisky'd again.
Yeah. I mean, surely Caleb Williams is at least serviceable.
I like Caleb Williams.
It seems like he's a good quarterback.
You know, as far as getting to the playoffs, didn't happen. I remember when he won the Heisman. All the other candidates that were there at the Heisman went to the college football playoffs. He didn't. He keeps losing to Utah. I know there's those kind of problems with Caleb Williams, but they cannot jack up. Ryan Poles' job's on the line with this.
Caleb Williams, he cries after games and
he wears
fingernail polish. Can't trust him.
I know, but you look at total yards. You know, last year he was way up there. Then he slipped back, Sam Howell. But again, you're getting these quarterbacks and just moving on. Which I like that philosophy.
Well,
if it's not your guy, find your guy.
At least he's got a decent defense in Chicago. That defense at USC couldn't stop a nosebleed.
No, they couldn't. They were horrible.
They were awful.
I remember watching that San Jose State game they played in game one, going, this ain't going to cut it. Or when they played Colorado, and Colorado was just going up and down the field on them. They built that big lead, then here comes Colorado back.
And Colorado was awful. They were not a good football team last year.
They turned out that way, yeah. But they're coming to the Big 12. How about that?
Cat's going to Boulder next year.
Yeah.
We get Deion in his house.
It's kind of cool you're getting Deion back to the Big 12. Well, not back to the Big 12. in the Big 12 for the first time. Coming up next, Marquise Brown had his press conference today, and it was quite good. Learn all about Marquise Brown. What name does he like, Marquise or Hollywood? He tells you next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic View.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!